You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everyone. I know it's a bit of a downer here in Houston because of the Astros' loss and the Rockets' dud in their opener the other night, but at least it's the weekend. With that, welcome in to another new episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Friday, the Rockets are already out in Los Angeles getting ready for this weekend's back-to-back Saturday night and Sunday night against the LA Lakers and the LA Clippers, both at Staples Center. As far as back-to-backs are concerned, and if you buy the Rockets' notion after Game 1 that they had some tired legs and are still working into shape, especially against teams that play at higher pace, then as far as back-to-backs go, having a back-to-back in the same city, in the same gym, meaning no travel in between, is about as encouraging of one as you could hope for, because it's not nearly as taxing as a traditional back-to-back with travel in the middle is on the NBA calendar. So it should be an opportunity for the Rockets to get right against two teams that, while solid, are far from great. On paper, the Rockets are the better team in both matchups. It's just up to them to go out and execute in a way they did not in Wednesday's season opener against the Pelicans. Now, as far as what to look for, what do the Rockets need to do better? The obvious answer, everything. And that's why I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it. The result Wednesday was such an outlier in terms of relative to season expectations, when the Rockets were viewed as one of the top two teams in the West and probably the entire league. It was out of line with preseason expectations, and of course the defense was bad, but in addition to the defense being bad, the lack of communication, poor switching, they didn't rebound well, out-rebounded 54-37. Chris Paul and James Harden weren't especially great, neither was Clint Capela, so really, it's across the board. The Rockets just need to be a much better basketball team. I know that's a relatively obvious and broad statement, but that's all we have. And should it continue for a couple more games, then sure, we'll dive into more of the X's and O's of things, what's going on next week. But for right now, I'm willing to treat it like the outlier that it is, being just one game of 82, and how completely incompatible it was with everything we saw in the preseason and everything that I see as a reasonable expectation going into the year. So as far as where the Rockets are at tactically, let's pick that up next week after we get two more games of data this weekend. And of course, we'll have our recap shows after both of those games on the West Coast. Today's show, we're going to do something a little bit different and switch it up, because I have a suspicion that a lot of my listeners here in Houston haven't been that tuned in to the Rockets this week. Now, the bad loss in the opener certainly didn't help, but for those of us in Houston, which I am, and I'm guessing a lot of our audiences, I know you're close to equally diehard Astros fans as well. And the Astros, it's been a very quick fall from grace for the defending champions, won the first four games of the postseason, and then somehow in a series that was much more competitive than the 4-1 final might indicate, the Rockets lost four games in a row this week to the Boston Red Sox, including a 4-1 loss in Game 5 on Thursday night that sent the Red Sox to the World Series and officially ends the Astros' reign as world champions after their run through the playoffs a season ago. So, of course, for those of us in Houston, it's a bit of a sad morning, but for me personally, it's one in which there's also a lot of pride, because when you factor in the last two regular seasons and postseasons, the Astros have won 219 games. One year they won the first World Series in franchise history. The second year they got to basically MLB's version of the conference finals. Just an incredibly historic run. And this year, even with a ton of injuries to key players, Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Lance McCullers Jr., among others, clearly not right in the playoffs. They kept pushing. They showed heart, they showed fight, and ultimately I think they made us all proud, even if it didn't end the same way it did a year ago with a parade in downtown Houston. And the reason I feel compelled to discuss this on a Rockets podcast, besides not wanting to go into the X's and O's based on how ugly the opener was, is the reality that to me there's a lot of parallels between this past year's Rockets and this past year's Astros, in the sense that both years, the Rockets at 65 wins out of 82, the Rockets with 103 out of 162, set franchise records for wins. Those were two historic seasons, and you could argue that even without winning a ring, you could say those are the two best teams in the history of either franchise. They were that good. And yet, it seems like there's a segment of both fan bases, and certainly from other fan bases around both the NBA and Major League Baseball, that have an approach or a mindset that any result that isn't holding up a trophy and having a parade at the end of the year should be criticized, as if everything about the journey becomes worthless because you didn't finish it with a championship. And I could not disagree more strongly than that. I've shared those sentiments before, but to me, this particular year with both the Rockets and the Astros, really the flagship franchises of Houston, having these historically elite seasons, to me, it's a good reminder of just how much the journey matters. And so while I'm sad this morning, I would say really my overwhelming feeling is pride. And I felt the same way in the aftermath of what happened with the Rockets and Warriors a year ago. As frustrating as it was a great team. And considering the depths of which franchises go, the ebbs and flows, to me, I don't know why you spend a lot of time, money, whatever equity and capital it is for you, following the team if you're not going to follow and celebrate the high points. So that, to me, is what I feel like a lot of fans, and this includes the Rockets community, need to appreciate more. If your view is championship or bust, and anything else you're going to be disappointed by, quite frankly, I don't know why you're not doing other things with your time. Because in both leagues, 29 of 30 teams are going to fall short of that ultimate goal. So the odds are overwhelmingly against you, if that's your standard, that every year you are going to fail. We all have different things that we can be doing and probably should be doing if a 29 out of 30 chance in a given year is going to make you particularly upset. I've never understood that viewpoint. Now, it's not to say that you should be overwhelmingly happy, especially if your team comes really close to a title and doesn't win it. But the idea that everything else is washed away, it's silly. The Rockets a year ago were incredibly special. And even though they didn't win a ring, it's by far the best team I've ever seen in franchise history. I will always remember that group. Hopefully this year's squad can take it a step further, but we'll see what happens. We've got several months ahead of ourselves to see exactly what happens on that front. But both the NBA and Major League Baseball, the postseason format for either sport is not necessarily compatible with finding the best team. Now, it's a little bit more so in the NBA because, generally speaking, it's harder for fluke results to happen 4 times out of 7 in a basketball series than it is in a baseball series. But still, certain teams will have bad matchups and bad draws. I mean, not every year the best team doesn't automatically always win. And that's where you go back to the fact that these are 82 and 162 game seasons for a reason, because it takes time for the cream to rise to the top. You need a larger sample. And so when you're compressing that into a much smaller time frame, then yeah, sometimes you're going to get wonky results. And if you want to view it as championship or bust, I suppose you can say that the latter is all that matters and the former is just a matter of getting you to the latter, but or to the stage, and then whatever you do from there is how your season should be judged. But to me, that's ridiculous, because if you're listening to this podcast, and I appreciate you for doing so, you're making me a part of your life, most likely multiple times per week. We have these 30-minute shows. If you're listening to me on a regular basis talk about this basketball team for 30 minutes a day, if you're tuning in during the season, which for basketball and baseball last at least 6 months, 2 or 3 times per week for 2+ hours each time to watch a game, much more than that in baseball, say, if you're paying an average ticket price that for regular season games is roughly $100 a ticket, along with, of course, commuting time, logistics, all that kind of stuff, why do you not care about the results over 82 or 162 games? Why would you put that level of time, that level of money, that type of investment in something if its only significance is get you to the playoffs, and then the success of the season, the team, how you remember it, will be determined by the results of the postseason? Now, it's not saying the results of the postseason are irrelevant. I think, for example, if you win 65 games like the Rockets did and then you had lost in the first round to an 8 seed, then yeah, that would wash a lot of it away. But we're not talking about that here. We're talking about, in the case of these past two Rockets and Astros teams, two historically great Houston franchises, and they just simply got beaten by two really good historic teams, the Red Sox in baseball with 108 wins and the Warriors in basketball, who are now the two-time defending champions, 3-4, and are the most talented roster ever assembled. And speaking of the Warriors, look, they were probably a Chris Paul hamstring injury away, even with all of their riches, from losing this past year. A couple of years before that, they won 73 games, an all-time franchise record, an all-time NBA record, excuse me, for wins, and they still didn't win a ring. It's really freaking hard. Are you really telling me that Golden State fans should have or did just ignore everything about that incredible 73-9 season because they ended up losing in the playoffs? That seems a little bit ridiculous. Now, again, I'm not oblivious to the fact that there is a sliding scale, and, you know, you lose in the first round, then, yeah, that might change things. If you're like the 67-win Dallas Mavericks from a decade ago and you lose in round one, then, yeah, I can understand that. But if your playoff performance largely backs up your regular season performance and you lose a very hard-fought series to a team like the two-time defending champion Warriors or the 108-win, now American League champion Boston Red Sox, there's no shame in that. It sucks that you lost, but the journey is not washed away. There's a reason you invested all that time and money and resources following the team, and I don't think it was just because of the off chance they'd win a championship, because I think we all know every single year, 29 of the 30 teams are going to fall short. It's not just about the ring, or at least it shouldn't be when you're a fan. It's also about the journey, and these are incredible times in Houston, and while, of course, I'd like to see both squads end it a little bit better than what's happened over the past 5 months, at the same time, big picture, I have a hard time not feeling really proud and really happy with where both franchises are at and the memories they've given me over these past couple of years. Well, certainly in the Astros case, because they won a World Series less than a year ago, but I would say the Rockets are very applicable in this analogy as well. Now, I know a lot of fans will listen to that opening segment and try to reconcile it immediately, this idea that even if you don't win a ring, you should take satisfaction out of historically great seasons. And some will wonder how you reconcile that with quotes from the executives, the coaches, the players that are largely championship or bust. And I understand it. We talk about it a lot on this show. Daryl Morey is about as forward-thinking as it gets. He's willing to increase his variance. He's willing to take gambles on boom or bust acquisitions that might lower your floor, but hypothetically raise your ceiling. Because to actually beat the Warriors, you have to think about your ceiling. And even if there's a chance that it lowers your floor in the regular season, it's a worthwhile risk if it gives you a better shot of actually catching that gold at the end of the rainbow. I also think that, you know, if you went out there and talked to Chris Paul and James Harden on the Rockets, or Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve on the Astros, whoever it may be, and you ask, are you satisfied with how this season went? They'll say no, because they're competitors. They fell short of their goal, which was to win a championship. And so I think they might bristle at the notion that you should celebrate a year in which they accomplished all these things, but ultimately, again, did not have a parade in downtown Houston. And I'm sure there are some fans that attempt to take some sort of similar approach themselves and wonder, why should we celebrate it if the players, executives, coaches themselves aren't? And my response is that their roles are different. For Daryl Morey, if you want to keep up with the Warriors in this era in which the NBA is so top-heavy, even being open to a slight bit of happiness over positive regular season results is a margin that you're giving up. If you want to compete with the Warriors, every single move you make has to be about optimizing your upside scenarios. So even if it gives you a risk of falling a little bit shorter in the regular season than you might otherwise have in terms of your record if you had a more stable group. At the same time, if you're competing with Golden State, the upside is all that matters. For players, they use these losses as fuel. If Alex Bregman were to theoretically celebrate for a few days what was a great season for him personally and the Astros as a team, he might not put in that extra workout to make sure that he is ready to go from the start of training, from the start of spring training next February. That's how players and coaches and executives have to drive themselves. The thing is, that's not the same thing as it is for us as fans. Those guys, number one, what they do has a direct correlation with the outcome. And secondly, I think they know that those are not necessarily logical approaches, but it's what gives them the best chance to win a championship. And by the way, it is a little bit unfair that they probably can't celebrate to the extent that we do when they don't win a ring, but they're compensated pretty well for that. And it's also not a lifetime appointment. Generally, the players, but also coaches and executives, they'll do this for a few years, and then they'll move on to some other phase of their life. And at that point, they'll probably be able to take a step back and smile. And you know, if they had some really good teams, but for whatever reason, just couldn't kick the door in and actually win that ring, I'm pretty sure that over time, they'll remember and think about all the good times, all the memories they had over the 82-game grind. And it's unfair for them in the moment, but number one, they don't really have a choice. If they want to control what they can control, and when it comes to competing for a championship, that means that being your singular focus. If you're 99% in rather than 100, well, that's a 1% margin that somebody else, probably Golden State, has that you don't. And that's not the best strategy. So I understand why players involved, if you ask them, was this season a success? If you ask that of the Rockets about this past NBA season, if you ask the Astros about this current MLB season, most will say no, because they fell short of their goal, and that's how they're driven. That's how you compete at the highest level. It's not fair, it's not entirely rational, but that's just the way it has to be if you want to be the best out of 30. That's how it works. For us as fans, none of this is within our control. We're not compensated for it, we're not making decisions, and we're also not going to go somewhere else in 10 or 15 years. For most of us, this is a lifetime appointment, if you will. We're following this team every year, and hopefully we live 90-plus years and have lots of eras and lots of good times to reflect upon. But look, we're bystanders. If this team gives you a legendary moment over the 82 games, enjoy it. As I record this podcast, I'm looking in my recording room at the Tracy McGrady 13 and 35 bobblehead back from December 2004, that game against the San Antonio Spurs. That was one of the most legendary things I've ever seen in a sports game. And guess what? That Rockets team, they ended up losing by 40 in Game 7 of the first round to the Dallas Mavericks. It still doesn't change that being one of the more impactful sports moments of my life. It was breathtaking. It was incredible. And if you ask Tracy McGrady at the end of the season, was he proud, was he happy with the result? He'd probably say no, because his focus was on the here and now. How, like all these athletes, what do you do to optimize your chances to actually win a ring? But you ask him now that he's moved on, I'm pretty sure he'd say that it was one of the best times of his life. And for us as fans, we're always in that dynamic. We're never the ones actually working, making the decisions, training in the weight room to take that next shot or get that rebound, whatever it may be. The one thing we have as fans, we should have that broader perspective. The reality is that both sides have their pros and cons. The cons for us as fans, we're not getting paid. In many cases, you know, we're the ones paying because we're spending lots of money to go to these games. And beyond just the financial aspect, there's the time. Most of us have done this our entire lives, and I'll be frank, I can't imagine a time in which I'm not regularly following the Astros and the Rockets, and the Texans too, for that matter. And we're putting in all this time and money over something that we have almost zero control over. So if you're a player or a coach or a GM, then yeah, because you have some control over the process and because you're extremely well compensated and you're probably doing it for just a short amount of time, then I can get holding yourself to an unfair and ridiculous standard of you've got to be the best out of 30 or else you didn't accomplish your goals. For us as fans, it's not worth what we put in, the time and the money, if all you're going to celebrate is being the best out of 30. Now, don't get me wrong, it's incredibly sweet when you do it. Those memories in 94 and 95 with the Rockets and 2017 with the Astros, I'll never forget them. But there's plenty of other moments that I won't forget as well. And that's what I keep coming back to. For us as fans, yeah, the players might say that the season didn't accomplish their goals, that it feels somewhat like a failure. We don't have to feel that way. It's different for us. And if you care enough to listen to this podcast for 30 minutes a day or even close to that multiple times per week, if you go to games, spend hundreds of dollars on that, or even just watch two or three times a week these games that can last 2.5+ hours, that's a significant part of your life that you could be doing something else, something that would give you a much better shot at being happy than being the best sports team, the number one in a 30-team league. So I don't see why you put yourself through all of that if you're not going to celebrate the successes along the way. So to me, it's easy to reconcile the championship or bust approach from the players and GMs with a mindset from fans that a 65-win season like the Rockets had a year ago that comes up most likely one game short, it sucks, but I can be happy with that. I think it was a great run, and while I don't know if Daryl Morey and Chris Paul and James Harden would characterize it exactly the same way as I do and what I think many of the fan base does, that's okay because the nature of their positions inherently puts them in a different mindset with how they evaluate it. For us, it's okay to celebrate those successes. Actually, I think it's more than okay. I think it's healthy. And so while it can be very frustrating to go out the way the Rockets did in Game 7 against the Warriors and the Astros did this week against the Red Sox, at the same time, in both cases, the overwhelming sense and feeling that I have is one of pride and being thankful, and my hope is that many of you feel the same way. Now, a few final points on the subject. I'm sure many of you that follow me on Twitter, @BenDubose, have seen me air my share of grievances, both about the Astros and Rockets, the other teams, of course, the officials, Joe West, and the controversial Altuve home run that was taken away in Game 4 of this series, taking away 2 runs from the Astros in the game they went on to lose by 2 runs. And you go back to the Western Conference Finals, we know what happened with Scott Foster and everything in Game 6 and Game 7 of that series. Yeah, I complained a lot in both of those situations, and I'm sure you guys did as well. But the reality is that through all the complaints, it's one of the most alive feelings that I've ever had. Certainly as a sports fan, but really, I would say as a human being, those runs were incredible. And for me, it's a big part of why I care about sports to the extent that I do. I'll give you guys a little bit of insight on my life, and apologies for this slight tangent here. When I was growing up, 8, 9, 10 years old, and people asked me what I wanted to do, my response was always to be an NBA player. And people laughed because, well, it was obvious that I was undersized. I'm about 5'9½" now. But back then, of course, you always hold out hope when you're a kid that you might have a miraculous growth spurt at some point. But, of course, I did well in school. I had lots of other things but going for me. But sports was where I felt a certain rush, a certain spirit of competition. And ultimately, I did not end up playing anywhere close to the NBA because while I could shoot basketballs really well, being the Steve Kerr for your junior high team is not really the ticket to being Steve Kerr at the NBA level. Because when you look at Steve Kerr's film in high school and college basketball, he did a lot of things besides just being an undersized spot-up shooter. And the fact that Steve Kerr, while being undersized by NBA standards, is still a lot taller than me. So eventually, probably about 11 or 12, certain physical realities became apparent, and I realized that, no, I did not have the genetics to make that dream a reality. But I still enjoyed the spirit of competition. That's how I got into being more of a diehard fan. And of course, it also helped growing up. I was 11 and 12 years old when the Rockets won their two titles. No, I was actually 10 and 11, but spirit is still there. And that's part of why I enjoy sports the way I do. Even though, of course, there are other more intellectual things that we could all be doing with our time, there's a certain joy with the rush, the spirit of competition, especially at the highest level, which is what these games in the American League Championship Series and the Western Conference Finals represent. And are there some down moments in there? Absolutely. I've been livid, certainly this series, if you follow me on Twitter with Joe West and MLB replays during the Western Conference Finals, with, of course, what happened with Chris Paul, but also some of the controversial officiating things down the stretch. There are times that I've been livid. And yet, that's a big part of what makes it so special. There are moments, and those of us in Houston have gotten to enjoy it twice now in the past 5 months or so, there are moments in these two playoff runs where it's amongst the most alive I've ever felt. It's that intense. And that's what makes it special. Even if you fall short, there's a certain feeling when you are in that moment, when your team is playing at the highest level, it makes you feel alive in a way that not many other things can. And even if you lose, those memories don't go away. It's still an incredible run. It's an incredible experience that we should all savor because it's not easy to be as good. The past year, again, the Rockets had the most wins in the NBA, and the Astros, well, they won all but more than one team in baseball, and they had the most wins in franchise history. Those accomplishments and that feeling of seeing your team compete on the highest stage and in the most pressure-packed moments, those don't just get washed away and thrown in a pile with, say, a random 20-62 season because you didn't ultimately win that series. I know it's frustrating, but it doesn't all go away. And quite frankly, even though, you know, it can be a little more painful to lose at the highest level, I get it, but it's the shortcomings that actually make the successes all the more memorable. If there weren't any tragedies, then it wouldn't necessarily be as sweet when you actually win it all, as the Astros did a year ago, and as hopefully the Rockets will a few months from now. That spirit of competition, that do-or-die mindset and approach that a lot of us have watching these games, it wouldn't be there if there weren't the downside of losing. So in some ways, even though short-term, of course, I understand being disappointed. I'm not saying that you should just cheer and not care about losing these games. But the idea of just throwing everything that's not a championship into the same pile, I don't get it. Competing at the highest stage, it's about that spirit of competition. It's about the moments, the process, the journey. And, you know, with the current Rockets, as we close it out, you know, that's what I go back to is I think the challenge the Rockets are having right now to start the year is hitting the reset button and starting anew rather than going right back to the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors. Now the Rockets are 0-0, well, now 0-1, basically on level footing with the rest of the NBA. And it's tough to hit the reset button, but they need to, because that journey is what made them special a year ago. It's what put them in position to have a chance, and a really good one, against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. And if you don't embrace the journey, it's going to be hard to routinely get out of bed and go through the 82-game grind in the NBA, the 162-game grind in Major League Baseball, and do what it takes against other teams full of paid professionals that are chomping at the bit to get to your level of success and knock you off. You've got to embrace the grind. And so it's a fine line to walk for players. And I understand a near miss, there might be a bit of a hangover effect for the Rockets. There certainly appears to have been for, say, the Dodgers this year in baseball, got off to a slow start. But eventually, the ticket to turning it around is to embrace that grind. And that's where I think, to some extent, as fans, we can help. If we show up at Toyota Center taking the game seriously, even if it's a random weeknight game in October rather than Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, then it makes it easier for the team, the fans, everyone to get in that same mindset to snap out of the doldrums of, wow, we were so close a year ago. Well, it's not like it all went away. It was still an incredibly fun run, and if we frame it that way, then in my opinion, it makes it all the easier to buy into doing it all again the next year. And again, if you want to be positive about it, you can actually argue that it's the shortcomings from coming so close and the knowledge that it's not guaranteed to succeed that makes the feeling when you ultimately do succeed and win all the more better. Also, one slightly related note before we close out, I do want to thank all of you who aren't diehard baseball fans for bearing with me on Twitter over the past few days. I'm sure, just like sure for non-basketball fans that follow me during the Western Conference Finals, I'm sure it gets old seeing these nonstop tweets about everything that's going on in the ALCS, if you don't care. The one thing I would remind you guys, and I think it's true for not just journalists, but fans across all sports, at the end of the day, our social media pages are about us. We're people. Now, if you want just to hear about the Rockets, then it's not going to hurt me if you don't follow me on Twitter. You can just listen to the podcast, which is going to be about the Rockets. That's why it's called Locked on Rockets. When we're on social media, sure, you'll get some analysis of the team and you'll get links to work, but there's going to be other things too, because it's not just about, this isn't a brand page. When I'm on Twitter at Ben Dubose, that's me as a human being. That's me basically sharing how I'm watching a game. It's almost like a virtual bar for me. And if it bothers you for whatever reason, then it's really not going to hurt my feelings. And I think it's the same for a lot of people if, you know, you mute, you unfollow, whatever it may be. But I've never understood the so-called stick to basketball or stick to whatever your primary job is. And thankfully, not many of you guys have done that. But of course, we see it in a lot of arenas on Twitter and on social media. And look, these are our personal pages. None of us are getting paid for operating a Twitter page. In my case, I do it largely because it's fun. Now, can you promote your work there to some degree? Sure. But by and large, that's not why I do it. I do it because it's fun. And if you don't like it, then I don't know why you would whine about someone's Twitter feed. Just don't follow them. It's pretty simple. So I appreciate you guys. I know a lot of y'all probably aren't diehard baseball fans and have stuck with me. If that's the case, thank you. And I would just ask that going forward, not just with me, but with other people, there's no reason to make things nasty the way I've seen some with these joint accounts. I would say, you know, because for me, I like basketball, baseball, football close to evenly, really. If it's a Houston sports team, we can throw the University of Missouri in there as well. Odds are I'm a diehard about it. That's just how I am. I know some of you may not have the same approach to all the sports equally. And I would just urge all of you to remember that on social media, look, we're people first, and if for some reason someone bothers you, just mute or unfollow them. It's really not a big deal. And or ideally, you don't have to do that. You can just ignore what they have to say. But really, all of these pages, they're who we are as people, and I'm just sharing my thoughts. And again, for the most part, I haven't had too many problems. I just want to thank you guys that have kind of bared with me over the past few weeks. And the good news, if you will, now that baseball season's over, I think the vast majority of my tweets moving forward will be about the Houston Rockets. Sure, we'll have some about the Texans, especially if they keep winning, now winners of three in a row and somehow tied for first in the woeful AFC South. But for now, it's going to be mostly Rockets with the Astros season at a close. So that will wrap it for today's show. If you want more content before our next episode, which we'll have a couple this weekend, recapping both Saturday night's game against the Lakers and Sunday night's game against the Clippers, the best place to hear from me is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked on Rockets. Also go to website, LockedOnRockets.com, a Facebook account, Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Always you can access our prior content and shows, ask me questions about the team, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being, don't hesitate to let me know. Also, if you haven't subscribed to us already, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, TuneIn, odds are, wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find us because we're part of a great network of shows across the Locked On Podcast Network, local experts across the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, and college sports. So if you haven't subscribed to us already, please do. That's how you'll get notifications when there are new episodes. And if you would also leave us a 5-star review, that's how we can make the business model work by looking attractive to potential advertisers. So for today, this will do it. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks for bearing with me through baseball season. It's all Rockets from here on out. And on that end, we'll have more coverage this weekend as the Rockets get back underway and look to get in the win column when they hit the Staples Center court against the Lakers and the Clippers on Saturday and Sunday evenings. Until then, have a good one, and thanks for tuning in to Locked on Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.